Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about something, a topic that I really like today.
As soon as I saw this, I thought,
because it's
this is going to get your juices
consistent with some things that we've talked about for a long time now. And this is an article from The Telegraph over in the
which
UK. And it's entitled, "Depression is a Physical Illness Which Could Be Treated with Anti-Inflammatory Drugs, Scientists Suggest."
If you're at all interested in this topic, and I know that you are,
I am.
But for anybody else who's interested in this topic, if you can only read one article, read this one. Because it is a really cogent, easy to understand explanation of this written by medical professionals.
Right.
So these are not journalists digesting. These are the real people who are in this field. So if you can only read one, read this one.
Right. So a little bit of sort of context. So depression affects a lot of people.
Right.
It affects somewhere
20 to 40%.
Right. At some point in time, most of us are going to experience a depressive episode or some kinds of depression. Now, according to this, according to the statistics in this article, 1 in 13 Britons suffer from depression in any given year. And it said that the National Health Society, in a system, prescribed 64.7 million prescriptions for antidepressant medications last year. That's a tremendous number of prescriptions for for depression, especially when we're really starting to see now that the data presenting the efficacy of antidepressants isn't very strong.
That's right. And we've seen plenty of studies that say that other treatments are as effective as medication.
Right.
Because the current treatments target certain neurotransmitters.
Right.
Assuming that those neurotransmitters are the cause of the depression.
Right.
That is what's being questioned, is that it may not be those neurotransmitters. And that may be part of the explanation of why antidepressant medications aren't effective with all people who experience depression.
Right. And remember, we've talked before on previous episodes that, you know, in mental health, psychiatry, we've sort of come across medications for different conditions in very unusual and atypical ways.
That's right. Almost accidental.
Right, right. It was an antihistamine,
Certainly Ritalin, yes.
An antihistamine is what they first discovered helped with some, may have helped with some depressive symptoms back in the 50s, and that was the launch of tricyclic antidepressants that we started seeing back then, and from there we just kind of refined and refined and refined until we have some more of our modern SSRIs. But all of it worked from the that perspective that was developed based upon the observation that some antihistamines improved depressive symptoms. And so, and don't get me started on antipsychotics, because it's the same thing, only worse. So we're now seeing, and people are becoming much more courageous in saying that antidepressants probably aren't quite as effective as we once believed.
And that we hoped that they would be.
Right.
I remember when SSRIs hit, when Prozac hit.
Right.
I mean, it was like this miracle drug that was going to change everything.
Right.
And of course, no drug ever does.
Right. So. And they do help some people.
That's right. I've had many patients come in and say, once I took that, everything was good.
Right.
Because it treated the right problem.
Right. And there's lots of medications that we can take that anyone who takes it could find some benefit to it.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you have a problem. It doesn't mean that that's what caused the problem that you may have been experiencing. It just means that some medications are robust enough that it's going to give some form of benefit to most people.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
So I feel like I'm dancing very carefully.
When Dilantin first came out, mm-hmm. The Dreyfus Fund, the Monetary Fund, mm-hmm. he took that. The person who developed the Dreyfus Fund, he wanted everybody in the country to take Dilantin.
Right.
Dilantin has all kinds of adverse side effects, but it worked remarkably well, so well for him that he thought everybody should use it. And that's what happens with these medications.
Yeah.
It worked well for me, so it should work with everybody.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, but what we're starting to see in research is that we're starting to put some of the data together to suggest that maybe some of the symptoms or some people who are experiencing depression mm-hmm. aren't experiencing it because of a neurotransmitter problem or because of a maybe even more specifically a mental illness,
right?
But perhaps it's a physical illness and it's a mm-hmm. your body's sort of inadequate or indirect response to an inflammation,
right?
And they've started pointing out some really impressive ideas that sort of support that.
It really is a shift. We talk about paradigm shifts.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a huge shift in the landscape, in the depression landscape, because now you're talking about this might be a fit. And how did they discover this? Almost by accident,
or
serendipitously, because they found that, for example, every time you increase the immune system in some way,
mm-hmm.
depression results.
Right.
Cancer treatment centers have known this for years, because
right.
when they give immunizations, when they increase, you know, those the patients get a little
right.
down.
Okay. Right.
Nurses have known that.
Right. So when you say increase immunization, what you're talking about is increasing your body's immune response
That's
to
right.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you expose somebody to a virus or something,
right.
the rates of depression increase.
Right.
And so this line...
Nobody knew why.
Right.
I mean, you know, we had no explanation for it.
Right. This guy, the head of the Department of Psychiatry mm-hmm. at University of Cambridge, Professor Ed Bulmore.
Right.
He has this great line that they pulled from a talk that he did. It says, he said, quote, in relation to mood, beyond reasonable doubt, there is a very robust association between inflammation and depressive symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
We give people a vaccination and they will become depressed.
Right.
Vaccine clinics could always predict it, but they could never explain it.
Right.
This association
mm-hmm.
is... Again, we've known it for a long time. It's really difficult to explain.
Right.
We haven't really put those pieces together mm-hmm. historically,
right.
but we're starting to.
Right, right.
And so what they're suggesting is perhaps instead of treating it as a mental illness and looking mm-hmm. at things like SSRIs and Prozac mm-hmm. and things like that, that we know don't help as many people as we have thought
right.
in the past,
mm-hmm.
perhaps we should start looking at anti-inflammatory medications as a way to help calm the body's immune system, mm-hmm. help calm that inflammation, that inflammatory response
right.
that our body has. And that could very likely resolve some depression.
That's right. Because even if you target patients who seem to have that response,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's just target them. For example, patients with PTSD
right.
who have had some trauma. We're going to go through a trauma shortly
right.
here in our state.
Right.
And people are going to be traumatized by it. Excuse me. And once your immune system kicks in, you're going to have increased rates of depression and anxiety.
Right.
Okay. It's a normal physical response.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're looking at this connection, and to me it really emphasizes the importance of us looking beyond that typical traditional
right.
model of
mm-hmm.
mental health and look at the body as an entire unit
right
an entire system
right.
And interconnected systems. We think of neurology, okay, neurology is there, and psychiatry is here,
yeah.
well, probably close to neurology, and then GI is here, and
mm-hmm.
Rheumatologists are over here, and
mm-hmm.
dermatologists are over here, but the interconnectedness is much more complex than that.
And
Think about the number of people. They had a number in here that I was just trying to find, and I can't find it now. But they had the number in here of the percentage of people who present in the hospital. It says around 60% of people referred to cardiologists with chest pain don't have a heart problem. They have anxiety.
I have a patient right now who's been concerned about, he thinks he's having a heart attack. He's not. It's anxiety. We now know in him. It's anxiety.
Right.
When he gets anxiety, he gets chest pains. But it's not a heart problem.
Right.
It's an anxiety problem.
And the numbers are probably just as high as it relates to people complaining of GI problems.
Right.
They complain of nausea and vomiting and diarrhea and constipation and all those kinds of GI types of issues.
Right.
And they go see GI specialists and there's nothing going on. And then it comes back to, it's probably anxiety. It's probably stress.
Right.
And what does stress do? We've talked about this on podcasts before.
Yeah, that's right.
The body responds to stress the same way, no matter what the source of stress is.
The brain doesn't care where the stress is coming from.
Right.
It doesn't matter at all. You're going to get the same response.
And the response is an increase in inflammation.
Right.
It responds with inflammation because if you think about it, if you strain your knee,
right,
it needs to inflame, needs to swell to immobilize.
That's right.
And so when you're thinking about stress that's caused by emotional things or mental things, it's going to have that same inflammatory response. It's not specific to your knee. It's not specific to your elbow.
Which could be part of the problem because it's not, if it's your knee, you know, if you twist your knee, the healing response is going to target the knee.
It's more localized, okay? Right?
If you have generalized worry or anxiety, it's going to be more systemic.
Right.
So it's going to go through your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the problem. That may be the larger problem.
Because you can't see it.
Because you can't see it, and you don't feel it in one particular place.
Right.
But your entire body is responding, is being affected. And when you get this, what inflammation is, it's healing, and it's an aroused immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And we said at the beginning of the podcast that it's that aroused immune system that's associated with a change in mood and affect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. The question, of course, is which comes first?
Right. And
always
we,
the case.
And that's where the research needs to go.
Right.
But so if you're listening to the podcast and you're concerned about depression, if you're taking antidepressants and they're not really working, you know, first of all, you have to make sure that you're doing them for long enough. You know, you have to be on the antidepressants for, we're both coughing a lot during this podcast.
It's the weather.
It must be.
We have a change in the weather.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. We're recording this the day before Hurricane Irma is supposed to hit
the entire state.
Right across the latest, one of the latest lines, projected lines, had it going just about two blocks away from our office.
Right.
the center of it going right across.
I heard yesterday that, remember I mentioned that to you yesterday, that somebody said it's headed to Lakeland, Florida, and I thought, I must have been listening to the local news, and it turns out it was the national news. So yes, we are sitting in the path of the world's largest hurricane.
Yeah.
As though nothing is happening.
Yeah, but you know what?
But the barometric pressure is changing and it must be affecting something.
Yeah.
Our immune system.
So, I don't know. We got off track.
We're preparing. No, it's true. We're about to, and because one of the things this article points out is that people who have experienced trauma, it may be that the immune system gets triggered, but doesn't shut off.
Right.
And it just keeps braining away. It keeps. It's like your computer stuck, you know, on something, and it just keeps producing and producing and producing and producing, and your body isn't shutting it off, you know, and that's a problem. But it's everything is physical.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it does come down to. I have a friend who's into functional medicine, and he said he thinks that in the eventuality, it's going to come down where everything is rooted in inflammation because it's just our body's natural way of responding to things. And that inflammation is just, we're going to find that inflammation is affecting so many things that's going on.
From an evolutionary standpoint, it's, if you didn't have that response, you died. Those genes eventually died out.
Yeah. The problem is that we live in a, we're no longer concerned about being attacked by saber-toothed cats. We're, you know, we're living a life where we have to get up early and we have to go do something that
feels like a saber-toothed cat.
Right. But there's no escape from it.
No. Mm-mm. You just stay in that hyper-aroused state.
Which
and you
keeps
produce
the
those chemicals,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And the inflammation.
Yeah.
So
we got to think about, again, it kind of goes, as far as treatment goes, we got to go back to those core basics that we know reduces inflammation. That's a healthy diet, good sleep, exercise, and some stress reduction meditation type things.
Right. And the good news is that there are alternative treatments for this kind of, for the depression that might be caused by an immune system response. And that's really an exciting line of research. And
absolutely.
We'll have to keep up with that.
Absolutely. So, all right. Is that all? We even did a hurricane update.
That's right. Oh my
Though
goodness.
By the time people are listening to this, the hurricane will already be gone.
We'll be cleaning up the mess.
So hopefully we'll still be here. After
that wasn't the joke, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a little bit of a joke. So, all right. So until next time. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.